Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Monday. Happy offseason. Happy everybody is 0-0 day to all those who celebrate. After Super Bowl 60, got to watch the Seattle Seahawks take it to the New England Patriots. I mean, that was a old-fashioned beatdown, and the ability of the New England defense to keep the Seahawks out of the end zone for the majority of the beginning of that contest is the only thing that made it not feel like an old school 80s NFC beatdown of the AFC. But looking back at the game, going back and looking at some of the cutups and seeing some of the coverage online, what we can learn from this game, I don't know that we can learn a whole hell of a lot, especially as Packers fans, people who root for the Packers, who want the Packers to be back in the Super Bowl and win a championship. I don't see a whole lot that that game taught us that we didn't already know. You know, you got to be able to win with four. Well, we've been talking about that for years, and the trade for Micah Parsons certainly helped facilitate some of that in Green Bay, especially earlier in the season. But I think it's very clear the Packers aren't up to snuff in that regard without Micah. We certainly saw that down the stretch. And now, of course, that was alongside the absence of Devontae Wyatt. You take those two out of the mix, and the Packers didn't have a prayer in hell of getting home with four. And that is something that I'm not going to say has to be concerning, but it's certainly something that the Packers need to continue to address. I know at the start of last offseason, Brian Gutekunst talked a lot about the need for guys like Colby Wooden and Carl Brooks, etc., to get more snaps, and saying they were ready to get more playing time. Well, they got a lot more playing time this year, and I don't think anybody's under any illusions that they are going to be answers to the equation of being able to get home just rushing four and playing a ton of different coverages on the back end. You're going to have to continue to add to that group, and that probably also includes the edge group. We talked about Lucas Van Ness last week. Certainly, he's going to get more opportunities this year. Rashawn Gary, his future is no doubt up in the air. I think a lot will depend on the contract situation there, but you throw in the potential loss, the probable loss of Kingsley and Igbari. I know you've got some young guys coming up, but that is certainly another area that the Packers will be looking at this offseason, the front in general. And then you flip it around, and man, I don't think anyone is under any illusions that, you know, the Seattle Seahawks beat up on some world-beating offensive line. We all knew the Patriots were struggling up front throughout the postseason. And Seattle certainly took advantage. They straight up bullied them up front. And the Packers and the fans probably are familiar with that look as far as the Packers offensive line getting bullied at times throughout 2025. Again, something that cannot be repeated. And I know you guys are probably rolling your eyes and saying, here's Negler talking about the lines again. He's always talking about the offensive and defensive lines. Well, guess how you win in the NFL? Is by controlling the line of scrimmage and by being better than the guy across from you up front. I don't know how many more ways and times we need to see it kind of play out in the NFL until people understand, man, it's all well and good to be getting exciting wide receivers or adding electric skill position players, but none of that means nothing if you can't control the line of scrimmage. And that is a number one lesson, again, being taught in the Super Bowl. We saw it with the Eagles last year, saw it with the Seahawks this year. The Packers need to continue to get better up front. And now again, the addition of Micah Parsons was certainly a big swing in that regard. And it absolutely did what it was supposed to do by allowing the Packers to, the majority of the time, play with four up front and use all sorts of different combinations on the back end. We all know Micah won't be there for most likely the start of the season, probably the first month of the season. The Packers are going to have to bring it early. One thing I did love about Seattle, and I will say, even though they could get home with four, they sprinkled a little pressure in there, especially from their secondary. They sent that Witherspoon blitz a handful of times early in the contest, and that really threw the Patriots. They had no answer for it. Repeatedly, not leaking a back out of the backfield, not having a hot route underneath some shallow crosser, make it easy for the quarterback. I mean, they had nothing. Everything was downfield waiting for things to develop, and May paid the price repeatedly. That is certainly something that we've seen improve under Matt LaFleur. Certainly, Jordan Love always seems to have some kind of game plan for pressure and knows where his outlet is and knows how to get out of trouble without resorting to just scrambling around. So that is where I think as a Packers fan, you have to feel pretty good. You know, that Matt's offense certainly offers the quarterback plenty of kind of escape valves, answers for the test, so to speak, when it comes to teams that will suddenly send pressure, maybe unexpectedly. But yeah, the overall kind of narrative from that Super Bowl will undoubtedly be, hey, guess what? Still remains true. You got to be able to get home with four and be able to play lots of different coverages on the back end. And even then, it's not like the Seahawks threw a ton coverage-wise at the Patriots, but they didn't need to, right? I think that was very apparent as that game went on. What's going on, everybody? Good to see everybody in the super chats, in the chat, everybody mixing it up. How y'all doing? Good to be back home. It was great to be in San Francisco. Loved being on Radio Row. Loved seeing tons of people throughout the media and fans. I had a lot of fans come up to me, talk to me, say hello. Even outside of the meetup, absolutely. The meetup was a lot of fun. Great to see everybody who came out. But man, I got stopped on the street a bunch of times. I can't thank you guys enough for saying hello. And again, for saying nice things about Cheesehead TV. It was kind of mind blowing when that happens, but very good to be back in New York City, even with the temperature drop in comparison. But yes, great to be back. Hope you're all doing well. Hope you all had a great time watching the Super Bowl. Before we get going, you guys know I got to give a shout out to our good friends over at ThetaCare. ThetaCare is your home team for bone, joint, and muscle care. From sprains to surgeries, they've got the playbook to keep you moving. So when pain tries to take you out of the game, trust the experts who know how to win with ThetaCare Orthopedic Care, proud sponsor of Cheesehead TV. All right, folks, what's going on? How are we doing? I see Brockman's here. Dennis is here, of course. How are you, Dennis? Eric, hello. How are you? Before I get to your questions and comments, let me give a salute, a little shout out, a little something, something. There we go. Cheers to the offseason, folks. We're all 0-0. Carry the G. Good stuff. All right. What's on your minds, people? Starting with Jerry, how are you doing, man? This season was so weird and frustrating that it's only appropriate that it ends with touchdown Seahawks. That is apt. Very apt. Well played. Mike Witt, how are you, sir? Can't believe how many people are picking Bears to win it all next year. I still think with everyone healthy on both teams, we are the better team than them. Am I crazy for thinking that, Nags? Not crazy at all. And I haven't seen anyone picking the Bears to win it all. I've seen a lot of talk about the Bears being better and improved. I've seen the Packers in a lot of different conversation when it comes to Vegas and the odds to win the Super Bowl. I haven't seen the Bears in that mix. Now, that doesn't mean it's not out there, but I haven't seen that. I just shout out Kyle Long, former Bears offensive lineman, who point blank on Radio Row said the Packers are still the team to beat in the NFC North next year because he's smart like that. So yeah, no, man, I don't think you're crazy whatsoever. And I think most people understand that the Packers are still going to be really good, and the Bears and the Packers are probably the two teams that are going to duke it out, though you never know. Lions could take another step forward. We'll see. And then who knows what happens with the Vikings in that quarterback situation. That's the real wild card here. Rick Harris, what's up, man? We need to draft bigs on both sides and a big running back. I don't know about that last part. I mean, they got Josh Jacobs. He's pretty big and strong and powerful. He needs to stay healthy. Like, he had a tough year this year staying on the field and being completely effective when he was, because he was dealing with so many injuries. But I don't think a big running back is what they need. I think they need a shifty third down type back, a receiving back. I think that would help. But I've been saying that since like 2001. So I'm not holding my breath. But I do think, regardless of type, I think they are certainly going to be looking at running backs in this draft. Now, I don't think it's, a foregone conclusion that they take one, but I do think that is certainly going to be a position that they'll be doing some extra work on, and they'll undoubtedly be looking at there on day three. But as far as bigs, yeah, you always need them. You always need the big uglies, both sides of the ball. That's what I was talking about here at the top of the stream. Certainly need to continue to try and build those rooms, control the line of scrimmage, because that's where it's won and lost. It is going to be interesting to see what they do when it comes to their approach to the offensive line, because I know a lot of people have made the observation that sure feels like they tried to switch up the body types that they were looking for there between the Belton pick and then the signing of Aaron Banks, trying to get some big uglies there along the line, and that really didn't seem to pay off the way they wanted it to. Certainly the run game was stagnant for much of the season, was never really cohesive. A lot of the stuff they wanted to do with the run game in conjunction with having Josh Jacobs really seemed to take a step back this year in a way that it was very effective last season. 2025, not so much. Might they go back to trying to look at more zone type run schemes and or body types? I think it'd probably be a bit of a hard turn, but anything is possible. And I know I've heard a lot of people talk about Josh Jacobs. Well, you know, this is an answer or a response to his running style and what he likes to do and what he's comfortable with. And I don't disagree, but I also know Josh Jacobs could do anything you ask him to do. And if you started running a bunch of outside zone, Josh Jacobs could be effective in outside zone if you block it upright. Like, I have zero doubt about that. So I don't think the hampering is happening because of the running back. I think they just need to be better, point blank, way more consistent up front, regardless of what scheme they're running. Pac Daddy, how you doing, man? I guess defense does still win championships. It absolutely does. You know what else helps? Having a kicker who can make kicks. I'm just saying. Nighthawk, how you doing? Went to high school with Lindenbaum, great guy and a big Packers fan back then. Wonder if he'd want to come play with his old favorite team. If he hits free agency, I do think that could be a potential addition, but we got a long way to go. There is no guarantee that he even hits the market. I know it's that time of year, and I say it every season, you got to wait until the franchise tag stuff comes and goes and the re-signings happen before we get to the precipice of the legal tampering period, which is about a month now. We got some ways to go, right? But yeah, man, if he hits the market, it's a potential addition. I have zero doubt about that. Now, there will certainly be other teams interested, and I don't know how big the Packers are going to be wanting to kind of roll out the bank book after last season's kind of strikeouts in free agency, but anything's possible, certainly. Brockman, how are you, sir? Super Bowl XL was just a masterclass in giving an ass whooping. Seahawks GM definitely earned his paycheck this season. Loving what the Vikings are just kicking themselves for letting Darnold go, LOL. I mean, John Schneider is one of the best to ever do it. No question about it, especially when you look at the fact of how he got this Seahawks team back to the Super Bowl, this time on it completely on his own. You know, last time he has to share credit with Pete Carroll. This one's all his making. And I think there are some things that can be somewhat instructive when you look at how he operated to build this roster. There are guys that, a couple of guys that he brought in season the last couple, this year and the last couple years that, you know, feel like the kind of swings that the Packers rarely make, whether it was Ted in control or whether now with Brian. I do know and I feel that Brian has been a bit more aggressive, a bit more, you know, amiable to bringing in outside talent, checking all boxes, always in conversations, etc. But certainly he still feels like he's a bit more Ted-like when it comes to being a tad precious with his roster and guys that he knows and has fostered in their program, etc. There can be positives to that. But I do know you look at, I mean, the Shahid addition this season is just one of a few that you can point to when it comes to Schneider not, you know, being afraid to take a swing in season to bring a guy who not only helped them on offense, but certainly sparked their return game. Something the Packers absolutely could have used at some point this season. Evil Badger, how you doing, man? Wilde and Tausch have been saying that Goody has to bring in a couple older veterans to build culture. I agree with them. He needs to get rid of his 30-year-old cut line. Yeah, I get that. I understand that viewpoint. I don't agree. I know you do, clearly. But hey, I think this whole group is growing together, and that's the whole point. I don't think you just say, I'm never bringing in a guy who's 30 or more. And I don't feel like Brian's done that in particular. I think he has certainly looked for guys heading into the second contract in their NFL kind of careers. But I don't think he's flat out, you know, sit there on the opening of free agency and said, you know, all guys 30 and over, just take them off the list, take them off the board. I don't believe that's the case. you go look and see what some of these guys are getting paid on that end of the spectrum. And I understand wanting to reserve your assets and what you have cap wise for guys that are, again, coming up in your program or are hitting what should be their prime in free agency. So I understand that. The culture thing, I'll never buy it. I'll never understand the idea that, okay, we're going to bring in a bunch of people from elsewhere to come form our culture. You've got a culture, you know? And yeah, would it be nice if you saw guys kicking ass, taking names, winning Super Bowls? No question about it. But I do understand how wanting to let this group, this core, grow together and establish their own identity, I got no problem with that. Now, look, do they have to finish? Do they have to be better at the end of games? Do they have to be a hell of a lot more consistent and productive? Yeah, of course. I'm not saying they don't, but I don't think just adding some old vets changes much. You know, yeah, I can tell you about how, oh, I remember I used to play at this place, and let me tell you, that sucked. This is great. The Packers treat us really well. You know, I don't know that changes a whole lot. That's just me. E4, what's up, man? I want an awesome D and a great O-line, plus a bench with a lot of depth and great special teams. We already have the offense. Should be easy. should be. Just add that stuff. Yeah, come on, Brian. How tough is it? It's good perspective right there. Mike Witt, thanks again, man. I know you don't like the accountability argument, but it's kind of weird that nothing has changed after the season ended with the 21-3 choke job versus the Bears in the playoffs. Just my opinion. I don't think it's weird at all. I think they had a really bad second half, and they were super banged up. And if Devontae Wyatt, Micah Parsons, Tucker Kraft, and Zach Tom play in that game, they probably win it 40-3. I have zero issue with it. I know you want heads to roll, but heads what? The offensive line coach should be fired because five of their best players were hurt. That makes zero sense. Zero sense to me. Soder, what's up? Seahawks prove you can take away the middle of the field with tight coverage and physicality. You can, absolutely, when you can rush with four, allowing you to play with numbers on the back end and take away not just the middle of the field, but various parts of the field because you can mix and match coverages. And a lot of the match coverage they were playing last night really messed with May. As far as what he's looking for and reading. And I think it ultimately came to a head on that attempt way deep over the middle that he had no business throwing. But yeah, man, you're not wrong. But again, it helps if you can get to the quarterback with four guys and play on the back end with whatever different kind of Rolodex coverage you want to use. Raha, what's up, man? Do you think Cooper played to our admittedly high expectations this year? Random Packer, bag of donuts. Shout out Bag of Donuts, Frank Winters. First Plan B free agent back in the day. Do I think Cooper played to our expectations this year? I think he did. I think he didn't have the splash plays I was expecting him to have, but I don't know how many times he was put in kind of position to make splash plays. A lot of, you know, it's third down and long, and we want you to drop spot coverage and just rally and tackle. You know, he certainly wasn't utilized as much as a blitzer as I thought he would be. Now, that doesn't absolve him from, you know, not making a ton of big plays. But, you know, given his down in and down out consistency, I don't think it can be said that he had a bad year. I do think you wanted to see a little bit more when it came to turnover plays, though. Don't forget the Eagles punch out, you know, of Jalen Hurts. Taking away points from the Eagles there, keeping the game close. You know, I think that will be interesting to see if Gannon utilizes him in a little different kind of rhythm, you know, as far as how much he's asked to drop, how much he's asked to get after the quarterback and things of that nature. Because I do think his athleticism is off the charts. And we certainly saw a lot more of it, you know, sideline to sideline, getting through the wash in the run game, etc. Saw a lot more of it his rookie season than we did this past year. Soder, what's up? Win with D and special teams, most anti-Packer game ever. You're not wrong. We've talked a lot about this on Happy Hour as far as, yeah, the Packers' identity for 30-plus years has been quarterback, you go be Superman, and we'll do everything we can to try and support that. You know, I do think, I know people don't want to hear this, but I do think, to Brian's credit, I think he's tried to steer the roster to a place where they don't have to rely on the quarterback as much. Now, unfortunately, especially once injuries struck this season, that did seem to kind of be the case. But yeah, you want to be able to play good defense and have special teams that at least don't hurt you. At least, you know, just don't put you behind the eight ball because of your special teams play. It'd be nice to have some positivity, some positive outcomes happen on special teams, but just don't hurt us, you know? And then, yeah, offense, go score as many points as you can. But certainly from the Packers' perspective over the, you know, last couple decades, you're not wrong, man. It is about the most anti-Packer performances that you could possibly see. Brody, what's up, man? What choice could Goot make to fans, to make fans, I think you mean, really mad? Oh, I'm sure we're going to see, you know, Gutekunst probably sit out the first wave of free agency and everyone will be mad right away. There, I have zero doubt about it. And that doesn't mean that he won't be active in free agency down the line, wave two, three, etc. But I'm sure we're going to see a lot of headlines, a lot of premier free agents being signed in the first 48-hour period, and fans will be livid and, oh, it's just all the same stuff, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I have zero doubt. You know, seems like every offseason people forget, you know, there's a lot that goes on inside the building when it comes to the roster as far as what they know in regards to who's ready to take the next step, who's not, where they do need some reinforcements because of free agency, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that train is never late. They won't do much early in free agency and people will be mad. I have zero doubt. Oh, Michael, I love it. Jennings Dunker out of Iowa is my current draft crush. Do you have one yet? Not a significant one. There's a couple guys I like so far. Dunker is very intriguing. He certainly fits the bill from the aesthetic standpoint. But yeah, no real banging the table. I love this guy. This is a draft crush declarations as of yet. But they will be coming without question. All right, everybody, I got to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.